How did Agnew do? Did you see it yet in the wire?
It's just beginning to move now. He had a 12-minute press conference.
12 minutes?
Right.
That's enough.
And he said,
Why don't you call me? You don't have it yet?
Yes, I have the wire service in front of me.
Oh, fine.
He makes the point that he's going to campaign extensively. He's going to campaign in all 50 states.
All 50 states.
He said, I'm not going into the campaign with a complacent attitude. He says, I'm going out as if this was...
That's rather good, the 50-state thing, isn't it?
Right. That's the lead. The lead is President Nixon did disclose today that Spiro T. Agnew is his running mate again this fall, and the vice president set out immediately on a Republican campaign sweep that ultimately will lead him into all 50 states.
That's great.
He said, I'm not going to campaign with a complacent attitude. I'm going out as if this were a last-ditch effort. He said he was appealing. He said that in appealing especially to independents and Democrats, he will restrict his campaign to what he described as the issue level. But he added that he would not hesitate to repudiate any personal attack upon President Nixon by the Democratic standard bearer. He said that the issue which he will speak out about will be what he called the Democratic nominee's stance on the regulation of marijuana, amnesty for draft registers, the $1,000 giveaway, and his foreign policy attitude that we should beg Hanoi. Asked about the president's selection of himself for re-election, Agnew said, everybody has his moment of insecurity, but I never felt I was in deep trouble. He declined comment on the possibility that he would seek the presidency in 1976, saying it's a little premature. And then it goes on to give his schedule, but that's the first lead out of it. This particular story doesn't reflect that he received a question or was able to get in, you know, a positive statement about your accomplishments, but perhaps it will follow in later leads.
He may not, in any event, he can get that out.
Oh, sure, and do that tonight.
His speeches now will be watched closely for a while, huh?
Right.
I think it's handled all right then. Your thing went right well, and
he has the lead, and he'll have the camera and the whole thing.
Right.
I think it's playing fine.
Fine.
I talked to to Haldeman earlier. Apparently, McGovern this morning sent a telegram to Albert urging suspension of 315 for a series of TV debates and urged the president to join with him in the request. McGregor is going to handle this. I'm not going to get into it. And McGregor, in the statement we just worked on, is making the point that in 1964, he voted to table the Mansfield Amendment, you know. In other words, he took the opposite position he's taking now. And also, he's referring to the pastory remarks that no incumbent president should ever debate his opponent. If this breaks this afternoon, McGregor's going to hit it with a statement and just get that out of the way.
And he should say that no incumbent president should debate his opponent.
That's right.
We believe that it would not serve the interests of the country. And I think McGregor also might say the issues, the gulf between these two are so great. I mean in the gulf.
Mm-hmm.
The differences between these two are so great that they don't need a debate to bring them out.
They don't, right.
How's that sound to you?
Yeah, good.
They don't need, right. They're so clear. They're so clear on defense, on domestic policy, on economic policy, are so great. They don't need a debate to bring them out.
Right.
It wouldn't serve the interest of the country, particularly at this time when very important negotiations are taking place involving matters of very great importance to the nation and which cannot be discussed, cannot and should not be discussed in a debate forum. You ought to say that, where the national's interest would not be served. I think it's good for him to just crack it.
Right.
I think we may as well get the debate thing out of the way now. Then if they want to suspend 315, let him squeal about a debate.
Right.
Of course, having a debate wouldn't concern me a bit, because...
No, you'd clean him up, but the only thing of it is...
Does Flair have any flair at all?
No, you'd kill him, but the only problem is then, I mean, he automatically elevated, gives him prestige.
Well, it isn't just the prestige. I don't want to give him all that... I just want to give him all that coverage,
right.
You know, on prime time.
Right.
Let him get his own prime time.
Sure.
But I think that's a very good thing to do. Very good thing.
And then under that framework, you weave in this other thing, you know, the duplicity of it.
Yeah, you can say...
His 64 stand, which is totally opposite to this.
He's totally wrong about that. And if they ask, well, what about the fact the president once supported it, he said, well, time to have debates.
Right.
And also, because the differences are so great between the two.
That's the key line.
I think that's it. Look, the differences between these two candidates are so clear.
So clear,
and
right.
So great. And that no debate, no debate is necessary to point them up to the American people.
The issues will be fully discussed
in this
campaign.
The issues will be fully discussed, but no debate is necessary to point up those differences.
Right.
And that also a debate would not, second point, debate would not serve the national interest, as Pastore has indicated, where an incumbent president involved, and particularly at a time, as is the present time, when international developments are of a very, very high sensitivity, are going on, which a president cannot and should not discuss in a debate, and matters in which, of course, the opposition candidate will be briefed, but which cannot be discussed in a debate.
All right.
Okay?
Okay, sir.
All right, good, Ron. Thank you.